You don't get a vote on dogma. You conform your mind to it, and then you shut up. And you thank God that there's dogma there. As Chesterton wrote in that short story about the kids being on the island that's that is it's an island in the middle of the sea. It is hundreds of feet above the sea, and there's cliffs all around. And as long as there is a fence that's around the outside or the precipice, the kids run around and frolic about, and they can't. They have no fear. They're protected. Now, if you remove the fence, and they can go out to the edge and then fall off the precipice 200 feet below, be dashed on the rocks and die, then they're mortified of going anywhere near where the danger is. And so they're all in the middle of the island, huddled around a tree. And as Chesterton wrote, what was the fence? The fence was dogma. Dogma's been a bad word since the intellectual revolution of the 20th century that gave us communism and Nazism and all the other isms that we're still stuck with today. You know, one of the things that the Marxists had to get rid of was dogma. As soon as you can start saying that dogma doesn't matter, well, then you can peel like an onion, you can peel away the rest of the faith. Well, okay, what else doesn't matter? This is serious stuff here, folks, which is why I believe it's dominating the headlines everywhere you turn, even today. Why? Because Christianity is serious stuff, and it's in trouble. The Western world, with the aid and assistance now of a pope that is in open revolt against the 2,000-year-old teaching of his church, this is serious, serious. As a matter of fact, I can't think or imagine of how much more serious and how much more troublesome of a time in which we could live. But then again, thank God that we do live in it, because I'm convinced that God has chosen all of us to be here and has left us with the task of, okay, I chose you to be born now. Now get busy, get to the task of defending my dogma and my inerrant scripture. So to repeat, it is a dogma of the faith that a sovereign state has the right to capital punishment. If you,
our opinion, it's not an opinion now because Papa Francis has made a catechism.
No, he's made an erroneous catechism, and he's wrong too. And this must also be noted. Mr. Church, you're not allowed to say that about... Yeah. I know. I've heard it before, but yes, you are. Padre Peregrino, headline. What Catholics are missing in the death penalty debate. And then he starts... he starts his piece. Wait a minute. And I go, I think I heard this before. Wait a minute. Before skimming this article to see if you like my conclusion on the death penalty, please realize that this blog post is a work on systematic theology, not moral theology. Systematic theology is a consideration of the levels of dogma in the church. Indeed, the question, by what authority, must precede visceral reactions to difficult issues that divide Catholics today, like the death penalty or gay marriage. Against the better judgment of half my mind, I'm going to give you here, in the first paragraph, the dogmatic conclusion of this blog post that will be provided below. Now, some of you out there in your little Facebook, social media armies, you need to hear this. The catechism of the Catholic Church is not infallible. It's not infallible. And then he gets into the reason why the catechism of the Catholic Church is not infallible. I imagine this sentence will delight many liberal Catholics. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is not infallible. I imagine this sentence will worry many neoconservatives. And Catechism of the Catholic Church is not infallible. I imagine that sentence will delight many traditional Catholics. Then he goes on to give the reasons why.